Oh, hallelujah. What powerful words. They don't just sound good, they are true. Praise the Lord. Would you turn in your scripture to John chapter 6? Sunday mornings, we've been Jesus and John. You can go ahead and stand and make sure you get a bulletin. Come early. Pray tonight for this evening's service. Let's expect God to move in a special way. And Lord willing, we're always open to what God wants to do, but I'm going to preach on a real controversial subject tonight. Real controversial. Music. It's in our One Anothering series. And so if we get that far tonight, we'll look forward to God speaking to us from His Word about music. So that'll be this evening. But we have this service, this time in the Word, and then we'll have the time at the Lord's table together and just expecting His presence to be rich amongst us. I want to hear from heaven, don't you? Amen. Amen. And I share a birthday with someone here, Jennifer Davis. We share the same birthday. I'm a little older, but anyway. John 6, verse 51. Jesus speaking, He said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Verse 54. Listen to what Jesus said. "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now, I want you to look at that last verse there that we read. Jesus said, "Eat his flesh and drink his blood." And you have to ask, what? Eat his flesh? Drink his blood? Even as familiar as we are with this, and I mean no disrespect to the Word of God, I'm just going to express it. That sounds a little weird. And it sounded weird when he first said it. I also want to caution you, because we're inclined immediately to jump to the communion and think Jesus was talking about the communion. But no, sir, this was before Jesus gave us or instituted the communion. So it's not talking primarily about communion. Now, some faiths get real weird with this, talking particularly about the Catholics. They literally teach that this means that when the communion wafer is put in your mouth, it literally becomes the flesh of Jesus Christ. Jesus isn't saying this. This is pre-communion. So we want to talk about today, what did Jesus mean when he talked of eating his flesh and drinking his blood? I want to know about that, don't you? We're going to look at these scriptures together. Let's have our hearts tender before the Lord. Jesus, we truly want to hear from heaven. Lord, we truly know that we need something from you. Our souls need something from you. We need help. We need sustenance. We need strength. We need empowerment. We just need your presence, Lord. Anoint me to speak the words you first spoke. Lord, anoint that today in our hearts, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. A little over a week ago, we were in the state of Washington to see our son, the great state of rain every day. And everyone you met seemed to be carrying a coffee cup, whether they were walking or riding or sitting. Everyone had a coffee cup. I was amazed by that in Washington, and I got here Sunday morning. Even teenagers were coming in with coffee. I'm not preaching against coffee. You can relax. All you addicts can relax. But why do people do that? Why did everyone have a coffee cup? Because, you see, it's real simple. They turn to that. Did I say something wrong? Oh, yeah, thank you. Okay. That's exactly it. They turn to coffee for the pick-me-up. They turn to coffee to face the day. They turn to coffee to divert from the responsibilities or the things that they're facing. They turn to coffee to get them through. On a more serious note, it's not just coffee that folks turn to. It's the internet. It's alcohol. It's drugs. It's gossip. It's sports. It's exercise. It's art. It's philosophy. It's illicit sexual activity. People turn to those things in order to face life. There's always that thing that people turn to deal with life, to get through life, to live life. But I'm here to preach this morning that we Christians realize what we should turn to. It's Christ. He's our life. He's the one we turn to live. Again, I'm not preaching against coffee, but some folks visit Starbucks more than they do church. Right? Right. Some get more excited about a ball game than they do worship. And that's an indication they turn to those things to face life. I want to ask the question this morning, what do you partake of to deal with life? What do you partake of to get through life? What do you partake of to find meaning and purpose and joy in life? Now listen, I know something about this because I was one of you. We're humanity. And humans are interested in life. And they're interested in two things about life. Number one, they're interested in the quality of life. We don't just want to exist. We want a quality life. We seek the best medical care. We seek the best income. We seek the best automobile. We seek the best house, the best relationships. We seek the healthiest life, the funnest life, the fullest life. We like quality. But we just don't want quality of life. We want quantity. Nobody wants to die at 19 or 20. You know, it's sad. Any funeral's sad, but it's particularly sad when it's a child or a young person or a young adult, because it doesn't seem right. They've only begun to live. Why? Because life isn't just about quality. Life is about quantity. I can't remember, it was someone in the congregation, but a few weeks ago, someone was talking about a family member that had a terminal disease, and they said they're suffering so much that I really wish they would just go on and pass away and get out of the suffering, but they're only 60, and it's just not right to die at 60. It's just not time. Why? Because of the quantity of life. Well, I want you to know this thing about Jesus being bread. This whole chapter's been about that, especially from the time he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and he produced that bread. Jesus, that bread is always about quality, and it's about quantity. You know, you can figure this how you want to, and you know, most people think that little boy's bread was little barley loaves. That's just a coarse, poor man's bread. Whatever it was made out of, I'm convinced of one thing. When Jesus produced that bread, I'm convinced it was the best bread those people had ever eaten. Jesus didn't produce no stale bread. And I kind of figure that because, you know, when he told the disciples to gather up the fragments remain, and they had 12 baskets, Jesus said, there's the leftovers. If it hadn't been good bread, Jesus said, there's the leftovers, take it home. The disciples would say, oh, that's okay, we're good, we're good, we're good. They wouldn't want to take it home, but that was good bread. It was quality bread, but it was quantity bread. There was enough for 20, 25,000 people, every one of them, to be satisfied and fulfilled. I want to tell you, Jesus, as the bread, he gives a quality life. It's an abundant life. But he also gives the quantity of life. It's everlasting life. It's going to go on and on and on through the ages. Amen. Jesus isn't just good right now. Amen. To partake of him isn't just wonderful right now. Amen. He's given you life that's going to last while the ages roll. And as the old hymn said, 1,000,000 years from now, we'll still be shouting glory. Let's look at our text. I want to emphasize this morning, first of all, there is bread on the table. Thank God, not just the communion, but there's bread on the table. Look at verse 47. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Humanity's always been desirous to live forever. From the embalming of the mummies and the building of the pyramids, an attempt to gain everlasting life, to Ponce de Leon looking for the fountain of youth, to today they freeze bodies and are talking about preserving brains and having brain transplants. Why? It's all of in a quest that humans want to live forever. And here Jesus is saying, you can have everlasting life. How? Verse 48, he said, "I am the bread of life." Amen. I want you to notice particularly that one word. He said, "I am that bread of life." What's that bread? It's the true bread he just spoke about. It's the bread from heaven. It's the bread with the seal of God's approval. It's the certified bread. And when Jesus said, "I am that bread," he was declaring that he was that which every soul craves for. He is that which every soul needs to be satisfied as the bread. He is whatever soul needs to fill the empty void on the inside, to have a sense of purpose and meaning in life. But he's not just saying, "I am that which will satisfy." He says in that one expression, "I am that which you can partake of and never die. You'll live eternally. You'll live forever in the presence of God in heaven." I want to pause to ask a question. Jesus said, "I'm that bread." What if Jesus were not that bread? Amen. What if there was not a bread to satisfy our souls and give hope of eternal life? I just want you to think about, what if there were no bread, nothing in this world that could satisfy? Amen. What if we just lived our lifespan and we lived it in emptiness and meaningless and without joy and hope? And beyond that, what if we had to believe that we were going to die and like an animal, that's it. It's over with. We go into an oblivion. Amen. What if the cupboards of life were truly empty? And I want to tell you something. There's a lot of religions that have something on the shelf, but what's in the pantries of other religions is things that will not satisfy. Or worse, it's poison packaged as something that's good. Amen. The shelves of the religion of this world are filled with things that can never sell because it's not that bread. But I'm telling you, there is a bread. And not only will it satisfy, it'll cause your soul to live on. Verse 49, Jesus said, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead." Look at what he's emphasizing. They ate and they're dead. Amen. I'm not going to take the time. I've been doing it in the other sessions from John chapter 6. But the Jews with Moses in the wilderness. Amen. Moses announced that manna that came from heaven that fed them those 40 years in the wilderness. And these Jews in Jesus' time are all about Moses and all about the law to the point they can't see Jesus. But Jesus said, that's a good thing, that manna in the wilderness. But I want you to notice something. That manna gave physical life, and that manna sustained physically. But when they ate of it, even they still died, because it's not the ultimate bread that man needs. He needs a bread not only that'll feed the physical. He needs a bread that'll feed the spiritual. They ate the manna, and they died. Listen to me this morning. Spiritually, there are things you can partake of and you're going to die. Your soul's going to die. And that's the test in life. Can I eat of that? Can I partake of that and live? And of the things of this world and of sin and of the attractions of the world, the answer's no. You eat of that manna and you'll die. But thank God there is a bread that you can eat of and you will not die. That's the test. Only those who satisfy their souls with Jesus will live on. Look at verse 51. Jesus again enunciates. He said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven." If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. I'm talking about the bread on the table. He said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. Living bread gives life. But he's not just announcing that there is a bread that gives life. He's announcing that that bread is available. That that bread is there for them. Hallelujah. He's not just saying, I am the bread. He's saying the bread is on the table. It's within reach. I preached last week, it doesn't matter how wonderful the bread is, if it's still in heaven, out of reach, beyond our grasp. But Jesus said, he didn't just say I'm the living bread, but I'm the bread which came down from heaven. What is he saying? He said, I'm where you can get a hold of me if you need me, if you want me, if you want to satisfy your soul. I'm right here on the table. I want to tell you this morning, the bread's on the table this morning. Hallelujah. Bread came down from heaven. Praise the Lord. Now listen. This is starting to get really in depth here. Jesus said, I'm that bread. And the bread, look right here, last part of the verse. The bread that I will give is my flesh. Did you know one of the charges against early Christians were that they were cannibals, because they took this verse and they talked about eating the flesh of Jesus. And the Roman Empire, when it was looking to trump up charges to persecute and kill Christians, that's one of the charges they brought against them. Those Christians are cannibals. They talk about eating flesh. And I told you it was odd in their day as well as our day. Amen. And you can take those words out of context and go down that line and think of how difficult that is to receive. We're going to see that at the end of the chapter. Even the disciples at the time couldn't hardly take what Jesus was teaching here. But for now, I want you to focus on one word here. It's the word eat. If any man eat of this bread. And then I want you to notice the word give. He said, what you're going to eat of is what I give, and I'm going to give my flesh. And the question is, what does it mean for Jesus to give his flesh? Because that's going to determine what it means to eat his flesh. What does it mean for him to give his flesh? To make this clear, first of all, I want to note again, Jesus is not speaking of communion where he takes a piece of bread and gives to the disciples. I know this for many reasons, but one is Jesus is not talking to believers right here. He's talking to unbelievers. Communion is for believers, not unbelievers. But he said, if any man eat, I will give them my flesh. He's not talking about that. Secondly, this isn't cannibalism. He's not talking about giving them a bite, giving them a piece of his body. Amen. When he says flesh, he's talking about his body. Don't forget John chapter 1 verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. The Word was made humanity. Jesus said, I'm going to give my flesh. So what does it mean for Jesus to give his flesh? It means that he is going to be the willing sacrifice that lies down on the altar of God and sheds his blood as a substitutionary sacrifice. His blood will be spilled as the sacrifice. John the Baptist got it right, and he looked at Jesus and said, behold the Lamb of God. Jesus gives his flesh by lying out on that cross and becoming the sacrifice for our sin. I want to note one more thing. We're going to move quickly on, but all through this John chapter 6, we see it as an undercurrent that the Father and the Son want people to be saved. They want people to be ready in the last hour. They want people to have everlasting life. Over and over, Jesus said, this is the purpose that I came. This is the reason that the Father sent me, so that people can eat of this bread and live now. I'm so glad God wants people to get saved. I know you have folks you'd like to get saved, see saved. But I'm telling you, God wants to see them saved too. And if you're here this morning and you're lost. You're not born again. You don't have the assurance of salvation. I want you to know Jesus is wanting you to be. I'm not preaching a dead message of just what Jesus said and did 2,000 years ago. The bread's on the table this morning. And what your soul craves and needs and desires, the bread's on the table. Secondly, this morning, we must eat that bread. Look at verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, it must be eaten. The bread's on the table. Amen. It'll give you life now and for eternity. But that's dependent. Not on the bread coming, it's come. It's dependent. Do I eat the bread? We're going to talk more about what that is. But first of all, eating's all about intake. Partaking. It's about intaking. Eating literally, physiologically. Eating is the process of taking inside of one's body that which will nourish that body, strengthen that body, and become that body. Amen. If there is no eating, that will never become or benefit that body. Eating is necessary to live. Amen. So much is emphasized today in our society about what you put in your body. I tried to find it, couldn't, but in one of my last Reader's Digest, they had it all down. They had, if you have to take a test today, eat this food. I'm not joking. If you're going Christmas shopping today, then for breakfast, eat this other food. If you got a test, eat this. If you going to go swimming, eat this food. If you're going to mow the lawn, eat this food. They had it down. And it was all delicious things like carrot sticks and broccoli and rice cakes and all that kind of good stuff, you know. But they had it down. You don't put anything into your body, but if you want, except good stuff, and if you want this effect, put this into your body. That's our society. Amen. A huge segment of our society today, folks are concerned about what they put in their bodies, and the quest is to eat for a buff body. The quest is to eat for a sharp mind, and the quest is to eat to live to a really old age. I'm thinking about all that, and I'm thinking people ought to be more concerned about what they're putting into their souls than what they're putting into their bodies. Because not only does your body eat, your soul eats. And I want to tell you what you can eat and live and go to heaven. It's the bread of life. Well, praise the Lord. Eating's not only about intake. Eating is not optional. I want you to imagine it's not really different than today. But I want us to imagine we're at a big banquet table. And in the middle of the table, there's this big old loaf of bread. Let me see if I can make you hungry. It's the crust is golden brown and lathered with shiny butter, kind of dripping down the sides. And we see that, and we smell that incredible smell that yeast bread has that automatically triggers those deep hunger cravings. I mean, knows what I'm talking about. And so what do? We look at that bread and we talk about how wonderful it looks. And we talk about how great that it smells. And we even discuss how it was made and who put it in the oven and what ingredients that it has. And then we go a little further, Brother Oakey, and we cut some slices of it and we take it in our hands and we say, oh, that's so light. It's so warm. Isn't this wonderful? When we got all through with that, would that have assuaged anybody's hunger? Would that have nourished anybody's body? No, because you can talk about it. You can study it. You can observe it. And it'll never do you any good until you eat it. There's people who like to talk about who Jesus is and how wonderful he is. And they like to get in the deep theological truths of who Jesus is. And they love those songs like the old rugged cross about Jesus. And they love even coming to church and the atmosphere that is there. But I'm telling you, none of that feeds our soul. Our souls are not fed until we partake, until we eat of that bread. I'm telling you, that's where we're going today. We must partake. Hallelujah. I'm glad he's wonderful. I'm glad there's so many truths that we can talk about. But at the end of the day, we must eat. I've said it, I've been around family. When someone's ill or distressed or depressed or grieving or overworked, and I've heard somebody speak up and it be true, they speak up and say, listen, you have to eat. Yeah, I know you're grieved. I know you're overworked. I know you're depressed, but you have to eat. I want to tell you this morning, our souls, you have to eat. What does anybody make the connection? The reason they're empty, they've not been eating. The reason they're depressed, they're not been eating. The reason they're so tempted, they've not been eating. The reason they're weak, amen, they've not been eating. Aren't you glad the bread's on the table? We can eat if we so desire. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I am what I ate yesterday physically, and I am what I ate yesterday spiritually. Amen. Next of all, eating is a response to hunger. Amen. People who do not eat this bread, either they don't know about it or they're not hungry. Now listen, we Americans, I'm not trying to be cruel, but we can develop the habit of eating when we're not hungry. Right? I mean, just ask somebody. You go eat? Yeah. Are you hungry? No. What does that have to do with it? Right? We get in the habit of eating when we're not hungry. And I'm not preaching against that either. I'm just telling you, real hunger is an instinct that drives us to eat. I believe every human born has a spiritual instinct of hunger that would drive them to the bread if they would let it. Amen. They let it drive them to a lot of other places. But that hunger, that deep down hunger, is trying to drive them to the bread. Amen. Amen. I remember times as a kid coming home from elementary school, my grandfather would have me go to the corner store. That dates things to get them a few items, and he'd give me money, and I'd get a fried pie, or I'd get an ice cream sandwich, or I'd get a candy bar. The problem with that is my dad got home at 4:30, and we ate at 4:30. Get home from school at 3:30, go to the grocery store, eat fried pie, ice cream sandwiches, somewhere around 4:15, have to go home and sit down to supper. Even a lot of times my mom could always tell, because the mashed potatoes didn't look good, and the meat didn't look good, because I was filled with fried apple pie. Amen. Or I was filled with donut. Amen. Listen, if the bread doesn't look good to you this morning, probably you've been eating some things you shouldn't have been eating. You've been snacking on some things of the world between the meals of the Word of God at church. I'm telling you why. Because it is in us to hunger after the Word. After the Word. And then eating is very personal. Amen. The food may have been prepared for me and served to me and be put on my plate, but the food's not really mine until I eat it. That's why it can be on my plate and I can say to somebody, do you want it? They'll kind of look at you a little odd if they're like me, like eat something off your plate, but you say, I haven't touched it. I haven't touched it. Amen. And then they're willing to take it because it's not really yours until you put it on your fork and put it in your mouth and you partake of it. This bread has not literally been made mine for me until I eat of it. No one, listen, I'm talking spiritually now. Nobody can eat for me. My wife can't eat for me. My children can't eat. I'm talking spiritually. Can't eat for me. I don't care how close they are relationally. I don't care how close they are to me in the church. Amen. Brother Heath cannot eat for Sister Heath, and they're holding hands. But it doesn't matter how close that they are. Amen. You can only eat for yourself. Amen. I want to tell you, there's a lot of folks here this morning, and it's just the truth. Amen. This one over here can get blessed. This one over here can get touched. This one over here can have their soul satisfied. But the only way it's going to happen for you is if you eat, if you partake. Oh, hallelujah. And aren't you glad he hadn't barred anybody from the table? Glory to God. You can eat. Hallelujah. Verse 52. Now, I told you that it was hard to take. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? See, even in that day, it seemed so strange. They balked at that. Jesus is saying he's going to give his flesh for us to eat. And if we eat forever. And the implication is some of them, their minds did go to cannibalism. And they said, he's mad. He's out of his head to say something like that. And others begin to recount. We can tell this from the context of the other parts of John. They begin to recount and say, look, madmen. Men full of demons. They don't open the eyes of the blind. They don't speak words like this. This man can't be talking about cannibalism. He would be mad. But this is no madman. He's perfectly sane. He perfectly knows what he's saying. So what does he mean? Eat of my flesh. Amen. What does that mean? They should have made the connection. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I said they should have made the connection. Amen. Please get this. This is so important. It'll mean something when we get to communion. At the very first of this chapter, John lets us know that it's Passover time. Isn't that right? Look back if you don't believe me. It's Passover time. They should have understood what Jesus was saying when he said, eat my flesh. Why? They're getting ready to celebrate Passover. What happened at Passover? Once again, real quick, the children of Israel are in bondage. God's going to kill the firstborn of everybody in the land. But he said, tonight, when I get done killing the firstborn, I'm going to lead you out of bondage. I'm going to lead you out of Egypt. But if you want your firstborn to live, you find a lamb for every family. You kill that lamb. You take its blood and you put it on the post of your door. And then you take the lamb inside and you eat it. Eat it with your staff in your hand. Eat it with your shoes on. Because when you get through eating, we're leaving this place. And the death angel's going to fly over. But when he sees the blood, death won't come to that house. Darkness won't come to that. What? What is this all about? Eat my flesh. Jesus was saying, I am that Passover lamb. You take my blood. It'll keep darkness from getting you. It'll keep death from getting you. It'll keep demon from getting you. But when it's all said and done, you must eat my flesh. Why? Because it's not about just right now. You're going to go on a journey. You're headed to eternal life. And you're going to need strength. And the lamb that shed its blood to save them was the lamb that they ate to give them strength to get to the promised land. I'm telling you, we can eat of him. He was the sacrifice to save us. And he'll be the strength to get us into eternal life. Will somebody say glory? Hallelujah. They should have got that. Verse 53. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. They're already upset. Jesus just made him more so. Why? Look here. First of all, he told him, you have no life in you. He looked at religious leaders. He looked at religious people and said, you're dead. Because religion doesn't give life. Jesus gives life. There's some things we do because we're saved, but paying your tithes won't give you life. Amen. Being baptized won't give you life. Singing songs won't give you life. There's only one thing gives you life. That's the bread. He said, you're dead. And then he makes him further upset. He was talking about eating flesh, and now he adds to it, and drink his blood. Quick reminder to the Jews, blood was despicable all through the law. You don't eat that which has blood in it. You don't drink blood. It's grilled into them. It's a part of their thinking. Blood is despicable and detestable and repulsive. You don't have anything to do with blood. And now Jesus says, except you drink his blood. Amen. What's he talking about? What's he trying to get across? Amen. Amen. Jesus had already told them what he really meant about eating and drinking. It's not a literal thing we do with teeth and mouth and hands. He told us in verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. How do we eat? We believe. Not an assent with our mind. Not just saying, yes, that's true. But we believe to the point that we surrender everything and all to Christ. We believe that he's true. We believe that he's right. We believe that he's a sacrifice. And we're willing to stake all of our life, all of our possession, all of our thoughts, all of our future. We stake that. We believe to the point point, we have become wholly His, completely His. It's that type of believing that is eating the flesh and drinking the blood. It's not a cannibalism. It's truly believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 53 again, Jesus said, except you eat. I want you to notice that's a singular action. Except you eat. Because Jesus talks of two types of eating. Except you eat. That's the eating that gives the quality of life, the new life, the being born again life. And what I want you to notice, amen, though you can't see it completely here, this is what you call a simple one-time action. What Jesus is talking about here is the eating or the believing when you become born again. It's that moment you put your trust wholly in Jesus for the salvation of your soul and realize He's the only one who can meet the desires of your heart. At that moment, you're saved. At that moment, you're born again. At that moment, you have partaken of the bread that gives the quality of life, the abundant life, the full life, the amazing life. Hallelujah. But Jesus speaks of another type of eating. Look at verse 54. Whoso eateth, this is not singular. This is progressive, not a singular action. It's progressive. We ate, but now we're eating. Why? This speaks of the quantity of life. It's not a one-time experience of believing. That's what saves me. But my making it to eternal life with eternal life is a process of my continuing coming to the table and feasting on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to eat this morning. We need to eat tonight. We need to eat on Monday in our private personal devotion. We need to eat on Wednesday. I'm telling you, folks that make it are those that just keep coming to the table. He that eateth, it's continuous. Our soul will never die. Our body will. We'll go on living until the last day. Jesus mentions here, I'll raise him up at the last day. You continually eat, your body will die, your soul will live on, but there's coming a day when soul and body will be reunited. And then, as the song says, for eternity I'll live on. Why? I didn't just eat one time of the bread and get saved, but I continually ate. I kept coming to the table. Verse 55, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my drink, or my blood is drink indeed. Now, this is not semantics. I'm not trying to split hairs here, but it's important to notice it's not the act of eating that does anything to our souls. It's the nature of what we eat. That's why he said, my flesh is meat indeed. It is truly that which is sustenance. And my blood is drink indeed. It is truly that which would satisfy. You can go through all the motions of eating, but if you're not eating the right thing, if you're not eating the meat indeed, and you're not drinking the blood indeed, it'll never satisfy your soul. Amen. It's the nature of what is eating. I can put it in my mouth. I can chew. I can swallow. I can even digest it. But if it's not the right food, it'll never nourish my body. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want to sound like I'm on a soapbox lately, but I see so much that's disturbing in the so-called church world and American Christianity today. And you say, Pastor, why are you so upset? And why do you mention those things? Because it is not meat indeed. And it's not drink indeed. And you can go through the motions of worship. And you can go through the motions of preaching. You can go through the motions of, but if it's not the true bread, it's never going to feed the soul. And more importantly, beyond that, it will not get you to heaven. But I'm here to preach this morning, Jesus is that food that feeds the soul. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. My heart is saddened even this morning because across our land, pews are weighted down with those starving to death. I said pews are weighted down with folks starving to death. The bread is on the table, but they will not eat. Last of all, this morning, we'll have the music come in just a moment, but we will benefit from eating. I've spoken of it in generally, but let me use Jesus
words. What's the benefit of eating the bread? First of all, we will have unbroken fellowship with Jesus. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. This word dwell means to continue in communion, continue in relationship. You know, we have that a little bit. You know, if there's a married couple, and someone may say, "Well, I've heard they split up," and somebody say, "No, they're still living together, or they're still together." By being together and living together, that implies they're still in communion and they're still in fellowship. Jesus said, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." We have communion one with another. And beyond the communion is the identity. Because if we're dwelling together, to see Jesus is to see me, and to see me is to see Jesus. And people will look at my life and identify that I am with the Lord. That's a benefit of eating. Secondly, amen, Jesus says, if we eat, we'll be sustained, empowered, and enabled. I love this verse 57. Jesus said, now he's speaking as a human. He said, "As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." Jesus said, this life that I'm living is because of the power of the Father in me. He is the one that I live by. And he said, if you'll believe me, put your trust in me, you're going to live by me. No wonder Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." Oh, what are you turning to for life? What are you turning to for sustenance, to make it, to be empowered? And then last of all, Jesus said, music, would you come? Jesus said, a benefit is that you'll both make it to eternity and you'll continue on through eternity. Verse 58, "This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead." He reminded him again, you can eat some things and die. But he said, "He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Oh, hallelujah. With God in this gospel, it's never just about now or just about eternity. Hear me. With the gospel, it's always about now and eternity. And what Jesus is saying, one more time, Brother Brian, he's saying right now, you can have the quality of life like you've never lived it. No wonder that person got saved and got up and wrote, "I've just begun to live. I've just begun to live." Since God's amazing grace, right now you can have the quality of life. But it's not just about right now. It's about the quantity of life. And Jesus said, you eat of this bread and you will live forever. Hallelujah. It's sad to think of, but when we roll a casket in here of the memorial service of a saint, the end is not the end. They were born again. They lived abundant life, but they're still alive. And through the eternal ages, they're going to live. There's no hope like that in this world. Would you come, servers? And I'll quit. We were at a place. We didn't turn it on. The music was on. I couldn't escape it. On my birthday, and the guy was singing about getting old. It didn't just come on once. It came on two or three times. But I couldn't get away from the last line of the chorus. He said, "I'd rather die while I'm living than live while I'm dead." See, the world has to make a choice. Death's facing me, so I'll just live it up. No real hope of what's beyond that. Let me read those words again. This isn't scripture. I'm going to make clear. It's a cry of a man who hadn't found the bread. Amen. "I'd rather die while I'm living than live while I'm dead." You know what Jesus says? He said, we can live while we're living, and we can live when we're dead. Isn't that what Jesus said? We can live while we're living, and we can live when we're dead. He's bread. I want to encourage you this morning. We'll take a moment to serve during that time of serving. Partake of the bread. I'm talking about before you get the wafer. I'm talking about with your soul. Believe in him. Turn to him for strength. Turn to him for help. Turn to him for hope. Turn to him for reality. Turn to him and live. Amen.
Just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross, it's about my sin, it's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away. It's about the cross, it's about my sin, it's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away, so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's not just about the good things in this life I've done. It's not all about the treasures or the trophies that I've won. It's not about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about his precious blood that saved me from my sin. It's about the cross, it's about my sin, it's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away, so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross, it's about my sin, it's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away, so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's not just about the good things in this life I've done. It's not all about the treasures or the trophies that I've won. It's not about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about his precious blood that saved me from my sin. It's about the cross, it's about my sin, it's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away, so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. The beginning of the story is wonderful and great. It's the ending that can save you, and that's why we celebrate. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away. Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about God's Son nailed to a tree. It's about how every drop of blood that flowed from him when it should have been me. It's about the stone that was rolled away. About the cross.
Amen. Amen. That's what communion is. It's about the cross. Could you stand? Now it is about communion, this bread, because we partake of this symbol because he gave his body as that sacrifice. Brother Cruz, would you ask a blessing on the bread? Shall we partake together and beyond the symbol, partake of Christ? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It is about communion. Now drink his blood with the awareness that life is in the blood, and he shed his blood in death that we could live. Brother Quesada, would you ask a blessing on the cup? Shall we partake together? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to lift your hands and thank God that the bread came down from heaven and he gave himself. Hallelujah. Would you praise him? Would you thank him? And while you're thanking him, would you feast? Would you feast on the bread? Lord, I need your strength. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your sustenance. Lord, I need your life. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, if you've got spiritual life, thank him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, we're going to take a moment before we depart, because there may be someone here that wants to come to these steps that we use as an altar. And you may want to this morning come and surrender your life wholly to Christ and know that born again life experience. Amen. Would you just come as they sing, and somebody will be here to pray with you. But church, let's sing the reality of this one more time. Amazing grace. Amen. Could we do it? Amen.
Amazing grace.
Do you need the Lord? Do you need Jesus? Is your soul starving to death? Is your soul starving to death? Is your life empty? Are you hungry for reality?
But now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see.
Let's sing it one more time in thanksgiving. Hallelujah.
Amazing.
Oh, that saved.
That saved a wretch like me.
Oh, yes.
I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Is there anyone else who would like to come?
I was blind.
Amen.
But now.
Amen. You need Jesus this morning. Would you like to come? Maybe your soul is just starving. You're just so hungry this morning. Amen. Would you come?
Sing grace, how sweet the sound.
Oh, that's saved. He's saved. He's mighty to save. He's mighty to save. Altars are open. If you need to go, God bless you for being here. And if you could go quietly, because folks are praying. These altars are open. Lord bless you. Go with his face shining upon you. But go rejoicing in that the bread has come. We can partake of the bread. Oh, he saved the wretch. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, you can still come this morning. You can still come. Hallelujah.
Was blind, but now I see.
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Lord, you are the bread from heaven. You are the bread from heaven. Are the bread from heaven. Our souls will hunger till they feast of you. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.